Over the last 10 days, the Lord has brought to my mind regularly a particular verse that I want to share with you today. It's one of those well-known verses that we all know so well. Yet as I thought about it, I sensed the Lord saying that there's perhaps a different way to look at it, a fuller way. Once we consider the whole context of the verse and the thoughts that lay behind what Paul had to say. The verse is Philippians 4:13. And it's just one of those verses that often, I think, comes to mind. I can do everything through him who gives me strength, is the way it's in the New International Version. Many of us will remember the Authorized. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some of you will remember Ray Harvey. Ray Harvey is one of our older members of the church here, just 90 the other day. He lives and has done for a few years now in the Baptist homes at Gwella. When Ray and his wife Lil first came to the church, they were already ready into their 70s. But at the age of 70s, they'd actually been converted. They had been in one of the cultish or heretical religious groups, the Church of God, run by Herbert Armstrong. And then they came to know the Lord and the joy of knowing the Lord. To know the Lord as a Lord of mercy and of grace. And particularly to know the Holy Spirit, who they'd never really known before. And in this conversion experience, they were full of life. I remember when they came, they had a great joy, a great passion about them for Christ, and a real love for his word. Then unfortunately, Lil was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and for her it was a rapidly developing thing. And Ray was the one who had to look after her. And he did so, and he suffered through that time, because she often wouldn't even recognise him. Finally, they had to put her in a home, and then she died. And Ray suffered greatly. I remember sitting with him, and he would say, Why didn't the Lord take me home as well? And even today, he would say, I want to go home to be with the Lord. But then, and even now, whenever I sit with Ray, he will tell me that his favourite verse is Philippians 4:13. He said, you know, I would never have got through, and I still would not get through life, except the truth of that verse. And I believe that Ray's use of this verse, and this is the reason I told you that story, was extremely close to the way Paul used it about himself when he wrote to these Christians at Philippi. You see, this verse is about survival. It's about survival as a Christian in a world that is not often very fair. In a world where we struggle as Christians sometimes because of the things that happen and the things that we maybe are encouraged to do. This verse is about perseverance. Perseverance in the faith through the good times, but also through the bad times. It's about the trust in Christ, in a Christian, that seems to get stronger when the circumstances would suggest so often that the opposite should be happening. And you've all seen that, haven't you? It's a cry of faith, this verse, but it's also a cry of victory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The context of this verse is a thank you note, as Jeff rightly said. That's how this little section of Philippians is entitled. The whole book is really a part of the thank you note, but particularly in these verses, this is a thank you note from Paul to the Christians there. Now, Paul had planted the church at Philippi many years before. You can read the story back there in Acts. It was a church that began in a big, explosive way. But it also began with lots of persecution. So Paul hadn't been able to stay around for very long. He had to move on from Philippi. But that church, those Christians there, never forgot the debt that they owed to Paul, who had started the work. I mean, other churches would not even support him. Philippi always would. They would send people from their midst just to work alongside him for a while, and they would send with them gifts for his work. Rather, I guess, like modern-day mission trips, really, isn't it? That's what they used to do from Philippi for wherever Paul was. But as things sometimes happen, this church was a persecuted church. And the time came the time when they were unable to support Paul as once they had. They never stopped praying for him, but financially or physically, they got into a situation where they could do nothing for him. Then the years flowed and things changed, as again, they always do, don't they? And they were in a position once again to help Paul. And they heard that Paul was in prison. He was in prison when he wrote this letter, probably in Rome. And they knew that to be in prison in those days as a Christian meant extreme hardship and poverty. And so they renewed their concern for him. And they sent him this fellow Epaphroditus, who was a pastor in their church, or an elder. They sent him along to support him, and also to take a gift so that Paul could at least survive in his prison cell. So Paul writes this thank you note. And he says in chapter 4 and verse 10, that should have been up before, wasn't it? Never mind, we can move on. That was not. Shows I've been away on holiday, isn't it? I think the batteries are going. That verse. I rejoice greatly, says Paul, in the Lord, that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned, I'm not saying that, but you had no opportunity to show it. But now you have, and you are showing that concern. And I rejoice greatly. I am thankful for that. And so far, so good. It's the classic thank you note that we've all written at different times, isn't it? It also seems to me to be the type of note that lets the giver know that the gift has been appreciated and hopefully leaves the way open for them to do it again in the future. That's the type of thank you note. I can understand that type of thank you note. That's the type I sometimes have written. I remember when I was a small lad, our family had three great aunts on my dad's side. There was Auntie Jessie, and Auntie Winnie, and Auntie Elsie. Auntie Jessie was a widow, and Auntie Winnie and Auntie Elsie were spinsters. The real good old maiden aunts. Now, we didn't have that much to do with them. They lived a long way away. And as far as I'm concerned, they were really, 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 really old. But the wonderful thing about these three aunts was that they would send to my sister, my older sister Nina, and myself, a birthday card every year. And in that birthday card, there was always a 5 shilling postal note. Now, I don't know why, but they stopped at me. They didn't send it to any of the other kids, just Nina and myself. So this was great. And every time that came, this was wonderful. The gift was beautiful, great. But after you received the gift, there came that arduous toil of writing the thank you note. I didn't like writing. I didn't like writing at school. I wasn't any good at school. I definitely didn't like writing my best writing. But every year, Mum would pester me, you've got to write the thank you note. You know the only argument that got me doing it? If you don't write it, you probably won't get the 5 bob next year. That is not what Paul uses the thank you note for. In fact, he does exactly the opposite when you read it. He uses it to let the Christians at Philippi know that he's not saying thank you because he really needed their gift. Indeed, he writes in the very next verse, I'm not saying this. I'm not rejoicing because I am in need. Because I need your gift. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. In other words, Paul doesn't want them to think that without their gift, without their support, he would not be able to persevere in his faith. That without their gift, he would not have been able to keep on living every day for his Saviour, to keep on ministering for the Lord with courage and fortitude. He was grateful for the gift. Don't get him wrong. But he was not dependent upon it. That's what he wanted them to know. He would have managed without it. Why? Why would he have managed without it? Because of the truth he had learned for himself over the years. And now he wants them to learn that same truth. And this is what he says. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. And you know, that word content is not quite the same as the way we use it today. That word content in the Greek means I've learnt to be sufficient. I've learnt that I have sufficiency. See, Paul had learnt that whatever he had or didn't have, he had sufficient to keep on living and being and doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there have been times when Paul had no freedom whatsoever. He had been beaten up and he had been thrown into a prison cell as he was now. And a prison cell meant poverty. There was no one there to feed you. You just had to get your food yourself in any way you could, from friends or relatives, whatever. It was a rough place to be. But there in the prison cell, where he didn't have the freedom to preach to great crowds, there he had discovered that he had sufficient to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, he could even preach to the guards that were chained on either side of him. At times, Paul had no food. He had no lodging. He had no money. But even then, he had learned that he had sufficient to be what Christ wanted him to be. There were times when all his friends had left him, had abandoned him. And even the other Christian leaders were against him because of what he preached. But even then he found he had sufficient. There was a time when his preaching seemed without success and without encouragement. But this sense of sufficiency he had learned was always with him. When his health failed and the road of life was hard, and that was often for Paul, he had learned that he still had all he needed to live for Jesus. You see, Paul never looked for any excuse not to do what God wanted him to do. Never looked for any excuse not to be what God wanted him to be. Paul wasn't a whinger because he had learnt sufficiency. And conversely, when Paul had plenty, when he was abounding in stuff, he did not depend upon the stuff he had. He didn't grasp it tightly to himself or let them become his pride. Look what I've got. For his sufficiency he had was not dependent upon such things whatsoever. You know, I'm not sure how it was for Christians in Paul's days, but it does seem to me that in our society, our Western society, we put a lot of emphasis on the need to have stuff in order to do or be what God wants us to be. We need stuff as far as ministry for him is concerned. And if we haven't got enough stuff, whatever that stuff is, then it gives us sufficient excuse not to do it. Stuff like enough time. Oh, I haven't got time to do that. But that's what God wants you to do. God will give you sufficient time. Stuff like money. Stuff like being younger. Or older, I'm too young, or I'm too old. We need this particular thing. We need this particular gift, this particular ability, we think. And yet God's the one who told us we should do it. We need this training seminar for a church, or we need these facilities in order to do it. And not having those things can so quickly become our excuse for not doing. Paul writes this in verse 12. He says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I have learned the secret, he says in verse 12, of being content, being sufficient in any and every situation. That's a beautiful word. I've learned the secret of being content, being sufficient in any situation. That's all. I'm lost my verses today. Whether well fed or whether hungry, whether living plenty or living in want. See, Paul had learned the secret of always feeling sufficient, always feeling he's got enough to do and to be everything God wanted him to do and to be. And in the very next verse, he tells us what that secret is. Thanks. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, the interesting thing about the way the Greeks write, when they do their sentence, if they want to emphasize some words, they put those words first in the sentence. The way the sentence is written in the Greek is just like that. It starts with the words all things. It doesn't start with the words I. Emphasis is not on I. All things I can do through the one empowering me. The all things, of course, relates to all the tasks God had for Paul to do. Big ones and small ones. It relates to the person that God wanted him to be. That was the all things. And the testimony that God wanted him to live out. That was the all things. Paul had discovered that he had sufficiency within himself to do all the things God wanted him to do because of the one who empowered him. And that one is Christ Jesus. And that word empowered is also a very important word too. It's the English word dunamis. Oh, sorry, the Greek word dunamis, from which we get the English word dynamite. You see the connection. Often we use turn the U into a Y, don't we? That's what it means. You know, we may occasionally say about a person who never seems to put themselves out in order to achieve or do anything, they need a stick of dynamite behind them. You ever said that? Paul, I'm sure, would admit that at times when he sensed the power of Christ like a stick of dynamite behind him. Things that perhaps he didn't feel he wanted to do at that stage. But he did them because he was obedient and he felt the power of Christ like a stick of dynamite behind him. You know, I felt that. Things like the times when I haven't felt sufficient to do something. And I know the Lord wants me to do it. And I've looked for any excuse I could find to do it. But in the end, I've decided I've got to be obedient. And when I've been obedient, it's like a stick of dynamite behind me. Like going to see someone at the end of a busy day when I felt tired and rather cranky. Or preaching when I've got no confidence about what I've prepared. Or facing someone in a conflict situation. Or challenging another about their commitment to Christ. On those occasions when, despite those feelings, I've chosen to be obedient, and I must admit that sometimes I haven't chosen to be obedient, sad to say, but when I've chosen to be obedient, I've felt the dynamite of Christ behind me. You know, the words have flowed in a way that surprised me. The response of the other has amazed me. And the sufficiency of Christ has astounded me. And I know that many of you have known something similar, haven't you? When you felt unable to do what God wants you to do, you felt stressed out about doing what God wants you to do, uncertain, unworthy, unwilling to do it, but you've done so because you want to be obedient. And Christ has made you so sufficient that you don't just do it. You feel like you've done it better than you ever expected. Isn't that right? It's the power of Christ. That's the sufficiency of Christ. You know, what Paul was sharing with these people in Philippi in his thank you note was a challenge. A challenge to let nothing stop them from doing what God had laid upon their heart. To let no excuse derail what God wanted them to do. But to trust in the fact that Christ would empower them for all things. What a wonderful promise. And the challenge of Philippians 4:13 for us is still the same this morning. I think it's a verse that says to us, check out your life. Check out whether the reasons or excuses you may have put forward for not doing what God wants you to do, or not continue to do what God wants you to do, are because you're not looking to Him. To honestly ask ourselves this morning, is there anything that we are allowing to stop us from being obedient? And then to replace our doubt, replace our fear, replace our hesitation with faith. Faith in Christ to fill us with that explosive dynamite power that will make us effective for Him, our Lord and our Saviour. Mighty God, I thank you that you are a God who does. And I praise you. I want to thank you personally for the way you've been that power in my life when I've been obedient to you. And it's all you. And I thank you for that. And I thank you that we can all experience that. Forgive us if at times we've allowed what we haven't had, or sometimes what we have, to stop us from being obedient. Stop us trusting. But we thank you that we were able to this morning commit ourselves to be those living sacrifices that Jeff spoke about first thing. To make that commitment to be obedient and to trust. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.